I see a lot of Krog staff members. I see too many. There's Mark. Hey, Mac. Mark.
So we've got Wethersfield. I see Canton, Columbia. I believe Newington as well.
Mm-hmm.
Plainville.
Southington.
Good. All right. Want to give it a second or two, and
we've got a couple more folks hopping on. I'm not sure who M. Hicks is, but
I want to know how you get a Krog logo in the top of your window. That's pretty cool.
It is. Yeah, Pauline can probably better explain it.
I think it was Caitlin who made these. So I can't take responsibility for them. I can't take credit, unfortunately. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Caitlin was the one who made most of these.
That is correct, Pauline.
So, Peter, once you're ready to get started, I'd like to introduce a new Krog staff member, a new teammate.
All righty. Well, let's do that. Let's call the meeting of the Municipal Services Committee of December 6th, 2022, to order. Matt, I'll do the approval of minutes, then we do introductions. We have a motion to approve both the November 8th and November 28th Municipal Services Committee meetings. Anybody have a motion for those two?
So moved.
Our second.
All right. Moved by Robert, second by Andy. All those in favor as adopting as presented, please say aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
Great. Anyone abstaining? All right. Very good. Adopted. So Matt, want to do introductions?
Yes, I would. Thank you very much, Peter. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining today's meeting. Very pleased to introduce you to Laura Rosenbluth. If you haven't had a chance to meet Laura yet, she's our new executive assistant, working closely with Pauline and me and others. She'll be primarily staffing the policy board and the executive committee, but we'll have some involvement with municipal services as well. So welcome, Laura. If you'd like to say hello to the committee.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for a great welcome, Matt. Excited to be here. Let me know if I could help you in any way.
Great. Well, welcome aboard, Laura. You're joining a great team. So, all right. So I don't see if we could call for public comment. I don't know if there's anyone on, Kim, outside of members or staff. All righty.
I don't believe so.
Great. No public comment. The next item of business is to approve our account meeting schedule for the 2023 calendar year. So, Kim, is there anything here that's outside of the norm?
No, there should not be. There are a few meetings that fall on the Tuesday after a holiday, which happens often, but as far as conferences, ICMA, CCM, we should be clear. Holidays, Jewish holidays, I think we should be good.
I would just point out that the November-December meeting is December 5th because policy board gets moved to the third Wednesday because of the holidays. And so so that's just a note that is not on the third Tuesday. Mostly because then we'd have a back-to-back meeting with municipal services and then policy board the very next day.
Right. Is the February meeting the 21st? I don't have that up in front of me right now. Is it February 21st?
Yes.
All right. Just a note that I will not be able to attend that, so I need to ask someone to chair that meeting on the 21st. So,
would you like us to move it, Peter? We can.
Nope.
No? Good. Okay. Nope. You sure? Nope. No.
let's lock these in there and.
Okay.
I'm sure there's many capable folks that will jump up and say, "I'd love to chair one meeting." So, all righty. Do we need a formal motion, or can we just accept this by consensus?
We need a motion.
Need a motion. All righty. Can I have a motion to adopt the meeting schedule as presented?
So moved.
Thank you, Robert. Second, please.
Second.
Thank you, Mark. All righty. All those in favor, please say aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
Great. Anyone opposed or abstaining? Hearing none, seeing none. Fabulous. All right. So I'm going to hand this over to Matt to kick off discussion relative to land use and regional economic development services / program.
All right. Very good. Thanks again, Peter. So Peter and I have had a chance to chat a little bit about this topic, and we want to kick off the conversation today and then continue it with the committee as we continue to make progress. And I've also invited Caitlin Palmer and Kyle Scheel from our team to talk a little bit as well. So I'll kick it off. If you want to pull up the slides again, Kim. So really what we want to look at here is building on the many good things we've done in the past, how can CROG best serve our land use and our economic development community? You know, thinking about our town planners, thinking about our economic development coordinators, if we have those. And, you know, we understand that there are some common planning issues that touch all of our communities, right? Things like affordable housing, as an example. But then there are other issues that might be of greater interest to rural communities like farmland preservation or suburban communities like outdoor dining and transit-oriented development, or our urban communities as they look to update their zoning regulations around parking requirements. So, you know, some of the things we've got a history of doing, and I think doing well, that we want to build upon and enhance, you know, number one, serving as a subject matter expert so that your planners, your economic development professionals, even folks like your code officials can call on our staff for advice and counsel. You know, we want to continue to put out model regulations and plans. I know having sat in your shoes for many, many years, having that starting point when you're developing a new ordinance or a plan is just so helpful. So we want to continue to do that work and enhance it over time. Demonstration projects can be extremely valuable as well, like the one we're doing right now for transit-oriented development, where we're looking at 8 of our communities where transit-oriented development seems viable. And then other things as well. And I'd like to pause here. Let me add one more point, and then I'd like to turn to Caitlin and Kyle, Peter. We are right now, we just posted our ad late last week. We're recruiting a director of regional planning and development who is going to oversee that effort. You may know we've had an existing vacancy for several months now, a deputy director for community development. We've renamed that division and reestablished it as a department. The new name is Regional Planning and Development, and we're hiring at the director's level as opposed to at the deputy's level so that we can retain more expertise here. And we want to initiate the conversation today, but then continue to have it with the committee once we've brought that person on board. And we'd like you to invite your town planners and economic development staff when we have that person in place. So I'd now like to turn to Caitlin and Kyle, Peter, who've been doing a great job leading a team of CROG staff. We've been going out to our members to meet with your land use staff, your economic development staff, in some cases, many of you as town managers for selectmen and women have sat in on those meetings. I really want to credit and thank the team for their proactive efforts, and they're learning a lot. So I'd like to now turn to Caitlin and Kyle if they can share a little bit about what they've learned in these sessions.
Sure. Thanks, Matt. I'll start. We've done about 8 of these visits so far. We met with Peter and the Windsor staff, Fred and the Weathersfield team, and we're hoping to at least do a visit, in, you know, one per week at least until we hit all 38 towns. I think by the end of the month, we'll have 12. We're meeting with Bolton, Willington, East Granby, and Berlin later this month, and eventually we'll hit all 38. I would say in broad strokes, some of the major themes that, you know, we've seen emerge at this point at the interim stage is one is staff capacity and recruiting qualified people, especially in the areas of enforcement. So ZEOs, wetlands, housing, buildings, and blight enforcement. That's sort of a broad public sector trend across every specialty, and certainly planning is no different. So it's a challenge across the region we're hearing. One specific one in regards to capacity is monitoring grant opportunities and submitting competitive applications. Our BIL team is working on that and trying to work with individual towns, but individual towns are also telling us that, you know, they don't have the bandwidth to keep up with the opportunities, and they're concerned about missing funding opportunities. So how can we assist with that? In terms of smaller communities, another concern is matching grants, matching the federal match, the 20% match to be eligible to apply for the grants. It's another concern we're hearing. And just in terms of thematic concerns or challenges that we've heard consistently is state-owned roads throughout towns. You know, it impedes your pedestrian realm and makes pedestrian challenges significant. Signalizing synchronizing your signals with DOT so they work together and talk together efficiently. Parking requirements for transit-oriented development is another issue. Trucking, warehousing, we certainly heard that in Windsor, we're hearing it elsewhere. And then broadly, just affordable housing, the housing market's crazy, it's probably gonna get worse. So that's broadly the challenges. And then we're also hearing some, as we have these conversations, we're hearing opportunities for shared services for efficiencies, and Caitlin can kind of cover some of the broad topics that we've gathered as takeaways from our discussion so far.
Yeah, sure. I just want to reiterate, these conversations have been very educational, very interesting. We spend like about an hour and a half every time we're out there just having a really great discussion. And so as Kyle was saying, like, one of the things we ask is, you know, are there services or things that CROG staff could be doing now to help you, or think about things that we should be doing for the future? So we do kind of talk and touch on, you know, what municipal services could we potentially be looking for in the future. As Kyle alluded to on the capacity side, one of those is hiring, like the actual hiring process, HR, especially in some towns, is more limited. They don't have the capacity and the belief that maybe there's some economies of scale that could be achieved when you have a bunch of municipal governments sort of all posting similar positions. So potentially some sort of shared headhunting services or for job recruitments is something that we've heard. And again, these are the sort of like brainstorming kind of ideas that have come up. More recently, we also heard of a community that's looking at creating like a business vacancy list or like clearinghouse to be able to help them internally assist with relocations or referrals for, you know, businesses moving in around their own town. That could be taken, I think, at a regional level as well. And it was even sort of thought of maybe like a shared CoStar service, because CoStar does exist. Some municipalities have it, but I think it's priced out for maybe some of the smaller communities or having the capacity to be able to utilize it. So CoStar was mentioned or something along those lines. Also potentially a couple of conversations kind of hinted at the idea of maybe expanding our existing EZIQ program. So specifically maybe adding certain professional services or construction services. One community we heard from in particular was regarding sidewalk construction, for example. So they didn't have a problem getting large construction jobs bid out, but they were having a problem with some of the smaller sidewalk repairs that they were trying to do. So cumulatively, could those be packaged together or join, you know, again, the EZIQC program? And then stormwater sampling, I think, was another example that was thrown in there. And so I know we've got some other stormwater conversations happening, and I'll just say on that and that there is some general consensus when we go and visit these communities that there is an interest and a need for potentially a regional stormwater authority. So, and then I'll also mention, Kyle talked about affordable housing. Some of the comments we heard is, particularly, I think maybe in the smaller communities, the cities maybe have a better handle on it. They might have their own like housing department for it, but otherwise tracking and managing affordable housing units sometimes falls on the municipal side, but there's not a lot of expertise or capacity to handle that. So maybe something along those lines could be done at a more regional level or some sort of shared services. We even heard at one point that a community was reaching out for an on-call consultant to be able to assist with that, but it was still too small of a job for them to really have gained any interest from a consultant team. And then as Matt kind of said, and this is maybe different from shared service potentials, but again, model regulations on maybe specific planning issues. We heard cannabis, low impact development guidelines, which we have some from 2014, but they need to be updated probably at this point. We also heard maybe aging in place as well. So those were just a couple of the themes that we were hearing.
Yeah, just like, and Matt said earlier, you know, there's probably a difference between urban and suburban and rural issues. So as we get our sample size bigger and meet with everyone, we'll probably expand this list a little bit, but that's kind of what we're hearing, you know, 3 or 4 months into this process. So.
Well, Kyle and Caitlin, thank you so much for that. And Peter and other members of the committee, you know, as you can hear, we're learning a lot and we're really excited about the potential to do more in this area. If we haven't been to your town, you know, we'll be there in the coming months. Peter, I don't know if you'd like me to move on and touch on the economic development, then take questions on both topics or pause here.
Let's pause here, and I'd like to ask the committee to share any thoughts on kind of the reshaping and I'll call a reorganization for lack of a better term of you know, the focus on land use development services. Anybody have any other thoughts at this point they'd like to share or questions for staff? One popped up in mind when Kyle was going through the list was, I was wondering if there had been any talk with the meeting so far about sustainability and planning around environmental sustainability, if that was a theme that was starting to emerge in any of the conversations.
I think with Caitlin, we talked with West Hartford about the low impact development standards and flooding issues. I know you guys, this committee has talked about a regional stormwater authority. So that has come up a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I think Fred, we talked about that in Weathersfield, correct? The flooding issues.
Anything along the lines of alternative energy or renewables or anything like that? Has that been?
I don't really think so. Yeah. I mean, we had a conversation with Weathersfield regarding like some waste management related issues that I think would tie into sort of, you know, improve sustainability, but not for like solar or wind or geothermal. And again, we have our sustainable land use model regulation, model code regulations that we had a while ago, but again, 2014.
I guess I look at it, the question I was coming up, because we've been struggling to put together a town sustainability plan, which is pretty far. I use the term sustainability in a pretty broad brushstroke. And when we were looking at the CROG's plan of conservation and development, the regional plan, that was, goodness gracious, that's got to be 10 years ago now, plus or minus, that there wasn't, we seemed to be a little bit shy in that area on regional metrics or game plan. And so I just was wondering if that's something that could potentially be looked at put on the list, at least to potentially look at. I'm not sure what the timing is on updating the regional plan and maybe gets incorporated into that, but more so than a service.
Yeah, I think we're working with CIRCA on the natural hazard mitigation plan. So I think maybe the timing is going to work out where we update that core plan and kind of gain the subject matter expertise from CIRCA, and then we can be in position to kind of do some sort of sustainability action plan or incorporate it into the POCD. But that's definitely on our minds.
Okay. Matt, you?
I just want to add to that, Peter. Thank you, Kyle. So environmental planning would also fall under this new department, including our brownfields program. So we want to build out our capacity there as well. And one thing we've talked about, in addition to the POCD, would it make sense to prepare a regional climate action plan? You know, that could have a host of strategies that CROG could look to coordinate.
Hey, are other groups, this is for the member towns, or other member towns, where are you all in your plan in kind of a town plan? I know many of us have clean energy task force. Is that an area to be elevated, or are you guys struggling with that?
I'll say, Peter, that Fred? Weathersfield has an RFP on the street right now for an energy consultant to come in and do kind of a full look at renewables and our energy infrastructure and kind of what our plan should be to help kind of pull that together, and then also to serve as a on-call expert for us as we go out for grants and other RFPs. Something that I did when I was in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and so we're kind of copied that model, the council approved funding to go out and do this plan. So it's on the street right now. I'm not sure. I think it's due next week. So we'll see what we get in response to that. But
is that a facility analysis, Fred, or is that kind of setting a chapter of your POCD type of thing where you're setting goals and metrics?
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of both. So they're going to looking at, we actually have a couple of projects that we're looking at facilities, but this is more broad. It's more looking at townwide and infrastructure. So, charging station infrastructure. So, renewable energy opportunities across the town, really a lot more broadly than I don't think they've ever done here. So,
that's pretty much where Windsor is. That's kind of where we're trying to figure out the next step.
And some of the comments we've gotten back so far with some of the companies that are looking at this is that we're being too broad and we're asking too broad. So we might end up fine tuning this and we'll kind of learn as we go. But that's where we're at right now.
Great. Any other member towns have any interest in that area or anything they want to share? Maybe we'll just copy what Fred does. So, all right. Well, I'm excited about the reshaping, and maybe it's a throwback, and maybe I'm just a little bit traditional, but I think getting back into that the land use focus on that in a regional basis, I like that approach, Matt.
Great, thank you. And we're going to continue to excel in transportation planning as well. Don't worry about that under our
Robin leadership. That's how you butter the bread. So we got to do that. So no doubt. Matt, you want to talk a little bit about where we stand with regional economic development?
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, Kim, if you could bring the slides back up, please. So with respect to regional economic development, and I know this is the something the committee has discussed at some length, the program would fall under the purview of our new director for planning and development. And you all were very helpful in terms of helping us to prepare our application to the Regional Performance Incentive Program. We did submit that application to the state a couple months ago. You know, thank you to Pauline and Maureen and Robin and many others who worked on that. We think that that application has a very high likelihood of success. Knock on wood, we should hear by the end of the calendar year, if not early next month. And that application, as you may recall, it's for 3 years of seed monies to enable us to hire a full-time economic development coordinator with some administrative support as well. Also, our application for this economic development district designation, that's a federal application. It's been pending in front of the Economic Development Administration actually for a couple of years now. They've just had a very significant backlog, of work, but they've informed us that, you know, we should get that certification within the next few months, and that will make us eligible for additional federal funding opportunities related to economic development. That's why we sought it to begin with. And in order to serve as an economic development district, there are only a couple in Connecticut right now. You need to have a comprehensive economic development strategy, or SEDS, in place. I know many of you have been involved in helping us to update our SEDS, and we're updating the current document right now. You know, we've got pretty good representation from our member towns. So a lot of work happening here. Again, we're optimistic that we'll receive the support from the state on our RPIP application. Some of the services that we're contemplating with this funding is we want to provide support to our communities that don't have dedicated economic development staff, particularly our smaller towns, and then also regional coordination. Regional coordination with entities like Advanced CT, Connecticut Innovations, Metro Hartford, the Capital Region Development Authority, our area Chambers of Commerce, CEDAS, which is the Connecticut Economic Developer Association, and others. And sometimes, as you know, we've got applications that come in that may involve or expressions of interest from companies and others that may involve more than one community, or a developer may approach one community. That community may not have an available space, but, you know, perhaps an adjoining community could accommodate them. And then on the business retention side, we also want to focus on that. You know, how do we better support existing businesses and industries here in our region? So that's what we're working on. And Peter, you and I have chatted a little bit about a situation where, let's suppose the RPIP grant isn't funded, what do we do then? And we've talked about coming back to this committee, maybe with another funding source, so that we can get this program up and running, because we think it's so important to our region.
Anybody have any questions for Matt on that program area? Matt, I did have one question. It's a little bit off a tangent. Could you just give me, where are you folks with the SEDS, and what do you need from member communities at this point in that update process?
Good question. So I'll start off, and then I can turn to Maureen and Kyle, who are also staffing the SEDS. So we've got a SEDS update committee that's separate from the existing SEDS implementation committee. And the SEDS implementation committee, as you may recall, is co-chaired by David Griggs of Metro Hartford and Jay Williams of Hartford Foundation. So the update committee, it's comprised of representatives from some of our towns. You know, we've got some of your economic development professionals are involved. And then we have representatives from a host of organizations across the region that are working in the economic development space or in higher ed and related disciplines. And we really worked hard to establish a diverse committee. Where we are lacking a little bit, quite honestly, is representation from the larger business community. You know, we're really relying on David Griggs and Metro Hartford in part for that. But we provided the committee a good comprehensive update yesterday. And really, our consulting team is from Camoin Associates. You may be familiar with Camoin. They do a lot of work in the Northeast region, and they've got a bit of a national scope now too. And they should have a draft of the SEDS for this committee to review in April, I believe. In terms of where you could be helpful, I think, you know, to the extent to which when we have surveys coming out, you know, making sure that your community responds, and also that you take the time to review and comment on the draft plan when it becomes available. Kyle and Maureen, anything key I missed there?
That covers it. Yeah, I would just say, yeah, the private sector representation has been a little below what we'd like. So if you know of any connections and want to have them comment on the plan, that'd be helpful. But that otherwise covers it, I think.
Maureen? And I was just thinking that maybe we can reach out to like the Heartlift grantees or something to get some small business and minority representation on the committee as well.
Thanks, Maureen and Kyle.
Great. Thank you, Matt, for that update on SEDS. Any questions for Matt or staff on economic development? Hopefully we'll hear positive news in the next 4 or 5 weeks on the RPIP. And we can get that'll be one of the priorities, hopefully in the first quarter of the new calendar year. So with that, are we ready to move to staff reports? All righty, Matt, you wanna?
Yep, I'll lead off and then a couple others are gonna chime in as well. Kim's gonna handle the Fair Rent Commission item when we get to that. And I'm going to ask Aaliyah to talk about our website update when we get to that item. So first of all, thank you all very much for your participation in the special meetings and conversations we've had around regional approaches to stormwater management. I want to thank Maureen Goulet for putting together two applications totaling $500,000 in funding to the Climate Resilience Fund, seeking and that money we would utilize to hire consulting assistants to assist us with planning. And the second opportunity we just applied would also be used to scope out the feasibility of creating one or more regional stormwater utilities. So as part of this planning effort, we would start off with an inventory. We would inventory existing stormwater infrastructure that's in place across our 38 towns, and then identifying the key issues and the key needs. So very pleased that we've begun that conversation, and I want to thank all of you who've been involved to date. On our waste management project, this is something some of you have been involved with, but I know it's impactful for everyone. And I know Peter's been involved with he's a member of our steering committee. You may recall we've retained a consultant, RRS, working with a sub-consultant, Tetra Tech, on this project. I want to thank Robin Nichols and Pauline Yoder for their staff support to date. The first phase of that project was to prepare a systems inventory. That is complete. We're now on phase two, and under phase two, our consulting team is identifying a number of short-term options, 1 to 5 year options for the region to consider. And we've asked them to focus significantly on things like pay as you throw, you know, for those communities that have not adopted that model, as well as how we remove organics from the residential waste stream. And then in the recommendations that are coming, you may recall we structured the study to look in part at the future capacity of MIRA. Well, you know, MIRA's largely closed its doors. The waste to energy plant is no longer operating. So we're shifting gears a little bit. And I think you're going to see a number of recommendations related to CSWA. What's CSWA? That's the Central Connecticut Solid Waste Authority that we have on the books now, and that is staffed by CROG. We have solid waste authorities across the state that do a lot of good things for their member towns. They manage a whole series of waste management contracts for their member towns. Some of them even own waste management infrastructure. So I think you're going to see a number of recommendations in terms of how we could revive and strengthen CSWA now that MIRA is no longer a player in our region. Not that we're going to rush out to build a waste to energy plant or anything along those lines, but incrementally, we think there's much more we can do in that area. Moving on, Peter and I have been involved, and I want to thank Elizabeth Sanderson from the CROG team as well. The Department of Administrative Services at the state level, they've been tasked by the state legislature, as you may know, in establishing an apprenticeship program for building code officials. So there really isn't a defined track right now. So Peter, Elizabeth, and I have been involved with colleagues from across the state, and we'll be presenting a report to the state legislature as of January 1st. And we've presented some ideas in terms of how the state could create an apprenticeship program, perhaps one that's administered at the regional level. You know, understanding this is such a critical need for us in the future. Moving on to the bipartisan infrastructure law, I want to thank Elizabeth and Kyle and others for their continued work on this. I know you probably all are familiar with the fact that we have a dedicated presence on our webpage where we highlight the opportunities under the bipartisan infrastructure law. You know, to date, the ones that seem the most viable for CROG and for our towns are Safe Streets for All, as well as the Climate Resilience Fund, the one that I just mentioned, where Maureen submitted two grant applications to that program. Yeah, Safe Streets for All, as you know, we submitted an application. Well, actually, Farmington was the lead applicant, $22.4 million. We should hear from the USDOT next month as to whether or not we're going to get that funding. And I really want to urge all of you to think about these opportunities as you're putting together your capital improvement program for next year. I know the local match, the 20% local match, can be a challenge for many of our municipalities. So the extent to which you can budget that in your capital plan would be extremely helpful as we look for other ways to come up with the match as well. And then lastly, before I leave the bipartisan infrastructure law, Elizabeth wanted me to report on the EPA's Recycling Education and Outreach Grant Program, which may be of interest to many of our towns. And we'll be sending that information out if we haven't already. There's a real focus there on recycling strategies. So now, Peter, I'd like to ask Aaliyah to touch on our website update. We've been working to update the website for several months now. It's been a significant effort, as you may know, those of you who've been through this. And we're really excited. We're going to have a soft launch over the next several weeks. Aaliyah?
Thank you, Matt. Hi, everyone. Excited to share this news. So we've been in the development over a little over 6 months and working on our website. We are going to do a sneak preview for municipal members that will probably come out in the next few days. So please look out for an email that will come through our constant contact. We will have a link in there that will take you to our current website and its production environment. And we just ask that you take a look at it. Give us any general feedback. You can direct that feedback to me. I'm still working on collecting feedback as we work with our vendor to make any final changes. So you can look as that feedback and helping us make sure we get this right for our launch in the new year. Thank you.
Thanks, Aaliyah. And then Peter, just I forgot one item on the bipartisan infrastructure law. And we're certainly very excited about the website, and the extent to which you could provide feedback to us would be very helpful. So on the bipartisan infrastructure law, I'm going to have the opportunity to be in DC late next month and potentially in March as well. So in late January, the National Association of Councils of Governments will be meeting. And then in March, we've got National League of Cities. And we're going to have the opportunity to meet with our federal legislators. And one of the things I really want to emphasize to them is relates to the bipartisan infrastructure law. So we're really excited about the funding opportunities, but in many cases, these are maybe too limiting. For example, the program for culvert replacement. We were very excited when that came out, but that program is limited to those waterways that host certain species of migratory fish. So that it's very limited in terms of its impact for our region. We want to be able to bring those examples to our legislators in terms of how the law could potentially be improved, you know, if there's a willingness at the federal level to revisit it because it's a five-year funding program. So let me pause there, Peter. And I don't know if you want me to take questions or if we should move on to Pauline and Kim before we do that.
Let's take questions now. You covered a lot of territory there. So Mark, you got a question.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. Matt, you were just saying, because I know that culvert grant is out there. Is it truly just for towns that have migrating ocean fish heading up through their rivers?
Yes.
So yes. Columbia, if I throw a salmon in the Columbia Lake and pretend he got there via...
Well, actually, we're working on an inventory, Mark, which Elizabeth should have available shortly. And that'll show all the waterways across our region that we think would be eligible for funding under this program.
So there isn't any culvert funding other than that right now?
Not that we've seen. I don't know if the BRIC program might apply. Elizabeth, I don't know if you're in a position to answer, or Kyle.
I was just going to add, this is Elizabeth, sorry, from the, the black space here. That I did do the inventory of the water courses, and it communicated to the towns that had the water courses listed already on Friday, but Columbia did not have any there. But nope. Sorry to break that news to you. And then for BRIC, there is the BRIC the state has their own internal deadline for those FEMA applications, which has passed. But there are programs through DEMIS, which is the Department of Emergency and Homeland Security, that is staffed, that there's some opening opportunities still for that they're receiving until January. So that could be an option for folks, but it's a state program, but.
Thank you. We'll see future rounds of that, correct, Elizabeth?
Sorry, yes. Yeah, there will be future rounds for BRIC. Yep.
All right. Anybody else have a question at this point, or we move on to Pauline?
I think Matt actually covered a lot of ground. One thing that I do want to mention is that Robin and I actually were just talking about the job portal that we created some time ago, and how to improve that or get that moving a little bit more amongst the towns. And this idea that Caitlin mentioned about hiring assistants as opposed to just a portal might be something that we discuss offline and pursue in the future. Could be something that we put for as an RPIP grant or something like that. We'll have to see, but I think that might be a good hook into that to utilize technology along with actual human assistance.
So Pauline, please refresh my memory on where are we with the portal? Is that?
Well, so we were in pilot and towns used it, but what we've realized is that it's yet another posting site for towns as opposed to being a real assistance to them. We were thinking that it would be assistance to them on the back end as well in terms of applicant tracking. And it really hasn't gained ground with regards to that. So we're looking at what our other options are. Is it trying to, what would be most helpful and useful for the towns that did use it or are interested in using it. And we have some ideas that are in the works that we're going to be working with Novus, possibly with CCM. If we do a posting on there and you check off a box that says, I want to post to CCM. So it automatically does it to CCM. I mean, you get charged, of course,
yeah.
But so that it's you post in one place and it posts in multiple places, not only just the applicant tracking piece of it. So we're working on that. And we did a survey that showed that the towns are actually pretty nervous about sharing applicant information. So, you know, given the conversation that Andy and I were having right before the meeting about poaching happening, so that is also a concern as well. So we might have to revisit that in some ways to reassure the towns that it's only when they deny an applicant that they would move on in terms of potential other opportunities. So we'll have to look at those.
Okay, great. Thanks for refreshing my memory. So anything else on the staff reports, Matt and company?
Yes, Kim is going to give us an update on where we stand with the conversation about fair rent commissions and potential regional approaches to that. And thank you to those of you who participated in those conversations too. I know we've had a lot happening with this committee, which is great. Kim?
Yeah, thank you, Matt. I think it was our November 8th meeting, CROG had agreed to follow up with municipalities that did have fair rent commissions. Since then, we did do that. There are 12 municipalities out of CROG's 38 member towns that currently have or are very close to creating said commission. We did send a very simple survey out requesting some information specifically on, you know, any existing policies or procedures that are in place. And we did receive a handful back. I believe we had 5 towns respond to us. We heard from Bloomfield, Glastonbury, Hartford, Manchester, and Simsbury. In a nutshell, the hours that are required to manage the workload depends on the workload, the number of complaints received, follow-ups required, et cetera. So the estimated time that is utilizing staff was kind of all over the place. Glastonbury, for example, you know, their fair rent commission is staffed by the housing authority. Manchester, we received feedback from the town attorney's office. So different agencies are also overseeing the fair rent commissions for some towns, but they are fairly inactive. Simsbury is in the process of creating their fair rent commission. And we did get some requests for assistance and training. So one thing we did receive was information from the Connecticut Fair Housing Center, which we've got training opportunities coming up for some towns that may be interested. And they are planning a workshop for municipalities come early 2023. So we're happy to share that information with anybody that would like it. And that's basically where we're at right now, I would say.
Great. If I may ask him, is the Fair Housing Center's training, is that going to be in cooperation with CROG, or are they just holding it independently and will be broadcasting or advertising it independently?
So from what I understand, this would be something independent from CROG through the Connecticut Fair Housing Center. And they did supply us with a toolkit that I'm happy to share. And then I, of course, have contact information for Sarah White at the Housing Center. But this is not something that we have worked with them on.
Okay, great. Well, I would suggest that as they firm up their time frame, and if staff could provide that to all the communities that have commissions established. If that's what the training is, I'm not sure if this training's for commission members or for staff, but so.
Yeah, Peter, just a quick follow-up on that, if I could. So there doesn't seem to be a strong interest, at least right now, from our member towns in terms of sharing staff support to staff these commissions. I think what we can do right now is on our website, you know, we can have a section dedicated to this topic, where we make all this information available. And as those training opportunities come up, Kim and other staff can share that with the region.
Yep, that sounds great. That's I think that's where the committee was based upon that feedback on November 8th. So I don't think it has to be much more than that at this stage in the game.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Anybody have any questions again for staff? If not, we'll move on to information sharing. Anybody have any good stories they want to share or any questions? Or I guess we're approaching legislative. One question I had, Matt, was where the legislative committee is in terms of priorities. Is that coming up in January policy board or is that going to be December? I can't keep track.
It often is in January, but we're going to present in December at the December 21st policy board meeting because we want to be able to hit the ground running with our legislative agenda. You know, we're going to be taking a little bit of a different approach this year where we're going to have some very specific items to promote service sharing. You know, that's one in particular. You'll receive the full draft in advance of the December 21st meeting and hoping we have a good thorough discussion at the policy board regarding it on December 21st. Something else new we're going to try in January, and hopefully many of you can tune in. We are going to look to hold a delegation-wide meeting for all of our legislators, or as many of those who choose to attend. And we really want to focus on new legislators. So CROG's delegation is large, as you can imagine. It's almost 100 representatives between the State House and the State Senate. So hopefully a good number of them will tune in and we'll have an opportunity to introduce them to CROG if they're not familiar with CROG and then highlight the key items in our legislative program. And right now we'll be sending out a hold soon, but right now we're looking at a noon meeting on January 10th. That works for our speaker, Matt Ritter, and you know he's going to be available to address the group at the start of the meeting.
Great. Thank you, Matt, for that update. All right. Anybody have anything for municipal services sharing? And then I'll also add in here, does anybody have items that they would like to get updates on or for future agenda items so we can plan for January and February meetings? Because Mark needs to know what the agenda is going to be when he manages the February committee meeting. Anybody have any thoughts or any questions or ideas? We've got a lot of stuff happening. So in part, it's going to be how fast staff can crank things out in terms of like solid waste and stormwater and just those various updates and not just updates, but at some point we're going to have deeper discussions on strategies and what directions to move, because we can only ask Matt and staff to do so much. And I think they're probably at that tipping point. Matt's not going to say yes or no, but they're, and like any good manager, he's not going to say that. But so, all right. But if you do have ideas for agenda meetings or things that you want to be updated on that either we've talked about in recent months or we haven't talked about in recent months, please shoot a note to Matt or I, and that way there we don't lose that. And what I want to do is make sure these meetings are what you folks want to talk about and discuss. So I appreciate your time and energy. And as we move towards the new year, if we can try to bring some of our other colleagues along, so some folks that your neighbors and folks that aren't on the call on these calls on a regular basis, you know, maybe encourage them to join us or at least find out why they aren't joining us. They're too busy or the topics just don't click with them or they'd rather go to lunch and not be on a Zoom call. So, all right. Anybody have anything else for the good of the order? If not, we'll stand adjourned
And we will see some of you at the policy board meeting, and those that are involved in the Connecticut Managers Association will have a little social on, I believe it's next Tuesday afternoon over in Manchester. So if you can join us, that'd be fantastic. Shoot me an email if you need that information. So, all right. Thank you very much, folks. If I don't see you, have a great, great holiday.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you all. Happy holidays.
Same to you all.
Take care. Bye, everyone.